Yes. Thank you.
Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
Amazing grace.
Thank you, Father.
How sweet the sound. Save a wretch like me.
Yes, sir, God. Thank you.
I once was lost, but now I'm found.
Thank you.
Was blind, but now I see.
Thank you, Lord.
I come before you this morning, giving all honor and all praise to Almighty God, who's certainly the head of my life, me and mine. Recognizing my pulpit associates, Reverend McMillan, Minister Riley, my beautiful wife, musician, and my lovely, lovely church family part that's here. It's an honor, it's a privilege. As always, it's an awesome, awesome, awesome responsibility to stand before you and profess the Word of God. Let us go to God in prayer. Take control, Lord. Take control right now, Lord. Oh God, and meet me where I am, that only you know, Lord. And I ask for you just to meet me right where I am, Lord.
And yes, sir, God.
Take complete control, Lord. And then just take my will and just have it be lost in your will.
Yes, sir, God.
Take my study, take my words, Lord God, and let them be lost in your word, Lord God, that you can speak a word.
Speak a word, God.
You know what we need, Lord. You know where you want to take us, Lord.
Yes,
and
sir, God.
I submit right now to you, Lord God, for you just to use me any way that you see fit, Lord God. Do with me what you please. But speak a word. Because someone,
yes, sir, God,
is searching, and someone is looking for,
yes,
a word,
sir,
and someone needs to hear,
yes,
a word.
Sir, God.
Speak, Lord. Speak to our hearts, Lord, for only you know what we need to,
yes,
hear.
Yes, sir, God.
I come to you as humble as I know how, Lord, and I give myself to you. Take control right now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I had in mind going one way, which I will still somewhat go, but there will be some changes for sure. The scripture we want to concentrate on this morning will come from the 10th chapter of Corinthians. And you had read for you this morning the first 12 verses, I believe. And I want to repeat just the 11th and 12th verse. It reads thusly, and I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. It says, "Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." And then I want to just go over to the 11th chapter and read the first verse from the 11th chapter. And it reads, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ." Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. And this morning we'll be talking, of course, it's a communion Sunday. And we will be speaking on the subject of remembering Jesus, and that's got a colon in it. And it's just giving simple guidelines for God's people. So, remembering Jesus, colon, simple guidelines for God's people. Simple guidelines for God's people. The last few weeks here, we've been talking in Bible study and spiritual discussions about being God's people, and what exactly does it mean when you profess to be one of God's people. It's kind of like an American Express card. You get certain privileges when you're one of God's people. And that's the part we like. But you also get certain responsibilities when you're one of God's people. If anybody has had a real American Express card, you know that. If you got a real one, that means you can run out and you go out and buy a car with American Express if you want to.
Yep.
Is that right?
That's right.
Of course, they want you to pay for it next month.
That's right.
Got a lot of privileges, but you got a lot of responsibilities as well. And that's the way it is with God's people. We have tremendous privileges. And we enjoy them. A lot of times we hear people and they say, I'm highly favored. Blessed are the Lord, thank you. And they walk 2 feet above everybody else. But then when it comes time to do something, to act like the people of God, then So when we talk, this past weeks we've been talking about the people of the Old Testament and the people of the New Testament and how much we are alike. Although we like to talk about the Israelites and what they did, why they did it, and I just don't understand why when God was so good to them,
oh, yes,
they turned their back on it. Mm-hmm. So it's amazing how much we are like the old Israelites. So today we're talking communion. We're talking about how God's people are supposed to remember Jesus. Any of you have had loved ones that have passed on, and that loved one that was a crucial part of your life, and what they did is try to mold you and make you go the right way. They tried their best to get you going the right way, and for many of us, they didn't complete the job before they passed on. But somebody else would have seen them trying to mold you and trying to be a part of your life. And then when you start to get it right and you start going the right way, then somebody might say to you that that person would be so proud of you now.
Yes, yes.
Well, that's the way God's people are supposed to remember Jesus. And it says, would Jesus say to you now, or would someone look at you and say that Jesus would be so proud of you now?
Mm. All right.
That's a mouthful, ain't it? Mm-hmm. Can somebody look at you and say that? Jesus would be so proud of you. What, what you are doing now, Jesus would be proud of you. That's how God's people should remember Jesus. If Jesus was still walking on the earth, would I have to hide from him, or would I run to him because I want to be just like him? I want to imitate Jesus. I want to watch his every move because I want to do what Jesus does. Or do you do like we used to do? You know how that one that you love, in my case, it would be my mother. And when I wanted to do the wrong thing, well, I tell you, I wouldn't do it in front of my mama.
All right now.
Run somewhere else. And then there's that other group of people that you'd always run into somebody that would curve the other way on you and say, boy, if your mama saw you now.
Yes, sir.
Is that just me?
No, I understand. Yes, sir.
God's people. It's quite a challenge, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
God's people, hey. How do we act to people when they see us? That's God's child. How does that make you feel? When the Lord was working with me, that expression just kept it, but God's child. How would he feel? Even as I spoke this morning and said, somewhat down. How would God feel? What are you doing? What are you talking about? How are you down? You are the king's child.
Come on now.
You got privileges.
And yes,
come on now.
Yes.
How you gonna get down? And what a God we serve.
Mighty God.
Mighty God.
Yes.
See, when Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthians, the Corinthians were mixed. They had Jews and Gentiles in the congregation. And some thought they were above others because they figure like, I'm a Jew, I'm truly God's child, and you are an adopted child.
Yeah.
So I'm better than you. So Paul was trying to set it straight. Paul was trying to let them know that you're all God's people. In God's eyes, you're both the same.
Yes, yes.
And some thought that they were more favored than, than others. So when Paul was writing, Paul was trying to get him to say, I want you just to get a clear picture of who you are.
Yes.
And who you belong to. He was trying to get him. So when you come together, either here in church or when you're out in the world, when you come together to commune together. It's a deeper meaning of communion. It says when I get with my people, wherever I'm at, I might be in the bowling alley, but will people know that it's something different about that group over there?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Just some simple guidelines. Paul, in this 10th chapter, and I'm going to read this to you. He said to him that, he said, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food.
Yes.
And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and that rock was Christ. He's trying to tell them that, you know, you can come into church and you can commune with the saints and you can rub shoulders with the saints, but when everybody goes out, everybody ain't the same.
Come on now.
They ought to be. But nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased. Well, they were laid low in the wilderness. Now these things happen as examples for us that we should not crave evil things, as they also craved, and be not idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play. This whole journey is about intent. What is my true intent? Is it my desire to please the Lord, or is it my desire to please me? My intent. So many people lose that and they get tangled up. They think they're further ahead than somebody that may be having the right consideration. We saying, what is my intent? I want to do what the Lord tells me to do. Is that in my heart, or is that in my head, or have I got it tangled up? I really want God to do what I want God to do. God's people ought to want to please God. When Paul down there in that 11th chapter, 11th verse, he says, therefore, 12th verse, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall.
Take heed.
He says, just instead of me fixing other people, let me make sure that I got it right. Let me make sure I'm where I think I am.
Yes.
See, we need to make sure that we know who we are. And we are God's people. And we need to know whose we are. We are the children of the King.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Our Father, which art in heaven, our Father.
Yes.
See, we ought to be, it's like at the football games, the cheerleaders say that everywhere we go, people want to know.
Yes, sir.
Who we are.
Yes.
And where we come from. When we were sitting at Golden Corral yesterday. And we did get, we commanded that kind of view. It's because I just looked at people, and I was so proud, because we were not going through any emotions or doing, we were just being who we are. And we were being God's children, so that people could look in and say, we won't raising no sin and then running around and acting crazy and all of that. We commanded some type of respect, so that people say, who are they and where did they come from?
Jesus
would have been proud of us.
All right now.
Just some simple guidelines. And I'm going to make it real simple. You see, sometimes God's people commune together, and then they get up and go out and do the wrong thing.
All right, now. Mm-hmm.
Now, some of them know that they're going to do the wrong thing even while they're communing. See, I can speak on that because I used to be one of those. We would take communion on Sunday in the morning, mm-hmm, and take communion at King's Club when we leave church.
All right.
See, because some of us knew and some of us didn't understand, we thought we had done all we supposed to do when we do it in church, so we thought it was all right for us to go and represent differently on the outside.
All right.
That's not how God's people, mm-hmm, are supposed to act. Mm-hmm. But see, we're not going to get into why you did wrong. Mm-hmm. We just want to know as God's people that you recognize when you do wrong.
All right, recognize.
That's a simple guideline. And most of us know when we can recognize right and wrong. Those are clear. We don't even have any problem with that. So it don't really matter why you did wrong, but knowing that you did do wrong. But then the other side is sometimes God's people commune without understanding. They'll even commune with the world and not understand, because then they're operating then in those gray areas. Y'all know what I'm talking about. That's a personal thing. When you start dealing with gray areas, you don't have to tell anybody what you're dealing with. God knows.
That's right.
And it's a gray area. You say, hey, am I right, or is this right, or is this wrong, or do God really care about this, or just, well, it's a gray area. I'm not sure. As I said, I'm going to give you some simple guidelines, and I'm going to be done. First, I want to give you a definition of what idolatry is. Idolatry. Well, you English majors want to correct me if I said that wrong. Got my permission to yell it out right. But idolatry says, when I put anything before God. And see, when you start talking about putting anything before God, people get that tangled up, because people look right up and say, if you got something, if you put your houses before God, if you put your cars before God, if you put your money before God. So people look at anybody that's got anything and say, see, they putting that before God. But what people don't understand, see, you can put your problems before God too. See, you can be going through all kinds of trials and tribulations in your life, and if you're not careful, you'll take all your stuff that you're in and you'll put that before God. You wonder why this church ain't filled up with people with problems? Ought to be a ton of them in here. They ought to be trying to get out of what they're in, but they'd rather bask in what they're in because they're making an idol out of this foolishness.
All right.
Don't too many people look at that side. You see that?
Yes.
But they don't come searching for God. They're miles away from God because they got their problem. You just don't know what I'm going through.
All right now.
Idolatry. That's what Paul was trying to get them to make sure you're putting God first. Mm-hmm. Here are your guidelines. Two simple guidelines. When you start looking at the gray areas of life, mm-hmm, how do I know what the gray areas of life? Number one, if it's not glorifying God, stop doing it. How simple is that? If it's not glorifying God, stop doing it. Number two, if it is glorifying God, feel free to do it.
Okay.
That simple enough? Mm-hmm. See that, people say gray, but there really is no gray area. We make that ourselves. We create that gray area because we want to have something to talk about it and to go through it, to give ourselves an excuse. That there really is no gray area. It's either glorifying God,
all right,
or it's not. Mm-hmm. I'm just looking. Is that? That's how simple God gave it to me. He also gave me, those are your 2 points. And here's some instructions for you to leave here with today. Stop letting the world,
all right now,
or your environment influence you. And start influencing the world and your environment. Simple. That's what God gave me this morning.
All right.
Told me I could do this next week.
All right now.
And here's what I want you to do today, and I'll even give you tomorrow. This is a good day.
Good day.
To do a good deed.
Good day.
It's a good day to do a good deed.
Mm-hmm.
How tough is it going to be for us to figure out a good deed to do today?
All right.
Shouldn't be too tough, isn't it? There's a whole lot of need in the world. It might just be a word. Somebody could stand to have an uplifting word from
yes.
you. Somebody
yes.
might just want to see your face and say, hello, how you doing? I haven't seen you in a long time, but it is a good day for a good deed. Mm-hmm. No challenge?
Somebody.
Mm-hmm. Remembering Jesus, he's a simple guidelines for God's people. Have someone say about you today or tomorrow, that person is making Jesus proud. Jesus would approve of what they're doing. Jesus would approve of how they're acting. Jesus would approve of how they're carrying themselves. Simple guidelines for God's people. I'm going to read the words of a song to you, and I'm going to close. It's My Desire. The songwriter says, it's my desire to say some good things every day. It's my desire to help the fallen by the way. It's my desire to bring back those who've gone astray. It's my desire to be like my Lord. It's my desire to teach some sinner how to pray. It's my desire to help the traveler find the way. It's my desire to lift up Jesus every day. It's my desire to be like my Lord. It's my desire to bring the wanderer to the fold. It's my desire to shelter someone from the cold. It's my desire to do thy will as I am told. It's my desire to be like my Lord. It's my desire to see his face when life is done.
Uh-huh.
It's my desire to meet the Father and the Son. It's my desire to hear him say, "My child, well done." It's my desire to be like the Lord. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, so good.
Thank you, Lord, as for your word.
Yes, so good.
Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for your challenge. And we ask now, Lord, for you just to come and create in us a hunger, create in us a desire, Lord, to just please you more and more and to be like you more and more each day. Guide us and lead us, Lord. Show us what you want us to do. Teach us what you want us to be. For it is our desire to be like you. Take control right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.